2 Peter chapter 1. And it's really interesting. We're going to talk about what God has been working on me about, really. I learned more from this than anybody out there probably does, as I study the Word, He works on me. And I'm glad Don read verses 1 and 2 as well before we got to 3 and 4 today, because they really set up verses 3 and 4. Peter starts off this letter and to his readers, and his heart catches him immediately. I mean, it's amazing the verses God can use to talk to you. He's just greeting everybody, verses 1 and 2. Hey, how is everybody? But there's so much amazing truth in his words. And you see the humble spirit in him. And if you look at verses 1 and 2, you see Peter literally bent over backwards in his humility. Yes, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ, and there is authority that comes with that. Yes, I did walk with Jesus while he was here on this earth. I knew him personally. I learned from him. I walked with him, literally. But setting all that aside, he says, first and foremost, I'm going to introduce myself to everybody as the servant of Jesus Christ. And literally, the word there is doulos, which means slave. I'm the slave / servant of Jesus Christ, just like everybody. I'm no different from anybody else. Yes, I'm an apostle, but I'm not setting myself up on a pedestal at all. I'm just this humble servant of God. And I think to myself as I read that, that's the kind of God I want to be. That's the kind of God that I want to be. I want to have that same heart. A heart that basically looks like the heart of Jesus. The same heart that Jesus had when he was here. Just a humble servant. And I'm not like that. Way more often than I want to admit, I'm not like that. I like to be, and I guess I am right now, literally. I like to be in the spotlight. Do you like that? I love to be in the spotlight. I naturally want that. I naturally like that. Everybody look at me, right? Pictures, take pictures. Why would you not want to take pictures? But that's not Peter's attitude as he starts off this letter. That's not his attitude. He introduces himself, bends over backwards to say, I am just like everybody. Basically nothing. Just a simple servant of Jesus Christ that has taken hold of the same faith that everybody has taken hold of. Everybody who is a follower of Jesus Christ, I've taken hold of that same saving faith that you have. We stand together as servants of Jesus Christ. What's that? And that really sets up verses 3 and 4, because whenever you realize, or at least this is what has happened to me, and I believe you see it here as Peter writes, that as you see how small, as I see how small I am, and I see how insignificant I really am, I'm able to better see just how big my God is. And that's what I want us to look at this morning. And I hope if you don't take anything else from this today, that you'll simply walk away with just a bigger view of who your God is and who my God is. If you take nothing else from it today, take that we're going to look at the bigness of God. And God is absolutely huge, and God is absolutely powerful. And whenever you hear some of the songs, some of the new songs today that say Jesus is everything, He literally is everything. That's such a true statement. We would be nowhere. We'd be absolutely nowhere without Him. And that's what Peter's going to point out. God is big, and I want to talk to you about my great big God. But some of the things that He has done for us. Some of the things that we were so incapable of doing, yet He has done them for us. And we're going to look at the power of God. The title of the message today is God is Sufficient. God is Sufficient. and that you would speak to all of us through your word today. We love you, Lord, and we ask all of these things in your most precious name. Amen. Look there at verse number 3. Let's start together. Verse number 3. Point number 1 today, if you're taking notes, is God's power is sufficient. God is sufficient. A couple of different aspects that we're going to look at. The first one is God's power is sufficient. Verse number 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Let me just stop there. What an amazing, yet very humbling statement. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And whenever he uses the word life here, just to set the context, he's talking about eternal life, not really life on this earth, but eternal life. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And basically what he's saying here is that I personally, as a human being, have nothing in and of myself that can get me either one of these things. That can get me eternal life, or then to live a life of godliness. I have nothing in and of myself that allows me to have eternal life, or then to live a fruitful, godly life. Nothing in and of myself. Now that's a humble statement. And that's an interesting thing to realize. And so I want to look at both of these things here very quickly. First of all, I want to look at how God's power is sufficient. Gives us all things that first of all pertain to eternal life. To eternal life. And by the way, let's just look at one more statement there in verse number 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. In other words, there's a way that you tap into this power. It's made available to you. God has made it available to you and me, this power. But there's a way that we tap into it, or there's a way that we take advantage of it, and it's by the knowledge of him. And that word knowledge, by the way, is the Greek word epignosis, which simply means full knowledge. It means I know more than just a couple of random facts about God. He's not just a God out there that I know exists and I just know a couple of things about him. That's not what this knowledge means. It means that I literally, personally know him in a deep way. That's what he's referring to whenever he says in the knowledge of him. It's a whole different thing to know that somebody is a CEO of a company, but then to actually know that person personally. Okay? So that's what he's talking about, the knowledge of God. This is how we tap into this power. And it all starts by first coming to know Jesus, to actually know him personally as our Savior. That's where this whole power starts. And he has truly given us all things. His power has given us all things that pertain to life or eternal life. And whenever you really step back and really take a look at what all goes into receiving eternal life, we say this all the time, but whenever you really look at it, it's really kind of humbling to realize just how little of a role that I actually play in receiving eternal life from God. Did you know, most of us know, that everyone is a sinner. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all done bad stuff. I've done bad stuff. It might be hard for some of you to recognize. But I have. I've done bad stuff. I just sinned the other night and came short of the glory of God. Just the other night. And you know, talk about humbling. I mean, this is me not wanting to look little up here. That is literally who I am anyway. But it goes against our grain, right? It's embarrassing to even admit something like that. That actually just the other night. Why couldn't I be able to stand up here and say, hey, you know, yeah, I've sinned and come short of the glory of God. About a year ago, I vaguely remember, right? But it's not that way. Last night I was here late at the office, and I got home late. The kids were in bed already. I felt bad. relax for a little bit. My wife was there. She thought, he's home. The kids are in bed. It's a great time to talk. I didn't want to talk. And so I got grumpy. It might be hard for you to imagine too. But I did. I actually got grumpy, and in the midst of my grumpiness, here's exactly what I did. I said a couple of things that were unkind and that were unloving. And the Holy Spirit convicted me, and I had to go apologize later. Just like that. We come short of the glory of God. You say, well, that's not that bad. It's bad enough to send me to hell. We all sin and come short of the glory of God. And then we know, most of us know, what the penalty for that sin is. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is what? Death. Meaning eternal death. Separation from God. In a place called hell for all eternity. That's what our sin does for us. But now, here's how big and powerful our God is. Now, hang with me. Look with me at how big and powerful and wonderful our God really is. He loved us so much to the extent that he came to this earth, lived a sinless life, which is powerful in and of itself. And then he was willing to lay, to actually give his life, to lay his life down as a ransom for our sin. Wow. And look at the power here. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Look at what his death accomplished, the power of his death. Isaiah 53, verse 5. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. Basically, here it is. By the wonderful power of his sinless life and his death on the cross, he made the way for us to be forgiven from our sin. Powerful. Something that we could not do. Something that we had absolutely no power to do. He accomplished it by himself and without any help. Because he loved us. But then, but then his power doesn't stop there. That by his own power, he rose from the dead, the Bible says. In John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, the Bible says, for this reason the Father loves me. This is Jesus talking. Because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. He finished it by his own power, by himself, by rising from the dead, by his own power. What a powerful, powerful God we have. He's huge. He's huge. And he's capable of so much. And he has done so much for us. The Apostle Paul said it right in, let me get this verse, Romans chapter 1, verse 16, where he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. By his own power, he has accomplished everything that we needed to receive salvation. Everything. We had absolutely nothing to do with it. There was nothing in our power that we could do to receive it. He did it all by his own power. What an amazing God we serve. And the good news is, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever repents of their sins and calls upon his name, the Bible says, he will in no wise pass. Wow. This great God. So right before we move on, let me ask, have you ever received Jesus Christ as Savior? Have you ever come to know him personally as your Savior? Is he drawing you right? And by the way, that's another one of his powers, by the way. If you realize that you and I have no power to come to him, we honestly have no power to come to him. His word speaks about that. In in John chapter 6, verse 44, he says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. He has to draw us in. We actually had no power to even come. And look how insignificant we really are. No one even had the power to take his life from him. Even if we had wanted it to ransom us from our sin, and we were trying to take it from him, no one actually had the power to do that. He actually had to give it up for you. This is the powerful God that we have, who's accomplished so much. Is he drawing you to death? Oh, please. Please don't say no. Say yes to God. If he is drawing you, say, come. Come to me, and I will give you rest. I will forgive you of your sins. I will give you eternal life. Will you please come today? And you're going to have an opportunity to do that. Or you can do that right where you're seated. But please come. So that's the first thing that his power has done for us. What Peter is saying. Are we getting a glimpse yet of the bigness of our God? He's huge. He's powerful. He's mighty. But it doesn't stop here. Peter moves on. Look there at verse number 3. And Peter says, God's divine power has granted to us all things that not only pertain to life or eternal life, but also to godliness through the knowledge of him. So, here's what he's saying. So, when we're saved, the power of God saves us. Whenever we come to know him personally as our Savior, his power has created the way for us to be saved. The power of him saves us. He saves us by his own power. But then his power doesn't stop. And here is where I get extremely convicted. Because his power doesn't stop here. It actually says that his power has granted to us all things that not only pertain to life, but also to godliness. To live a sanctified life, a life that looks like the life of Jesus. What that means for me is I have absolutely no ability to do anything that's good in the eyes of God. I have absolutely no ability to look like Jesus at all by what I do and by what I say, unless it's his power working in me that allows me to do that. Now, how humbling is that? I'm small and extremely weak, but he is powerful. And I want us to see real quick just how far this goes. Turn with me just for a moment. Keep your finger right here. I want us to see how far this goes here. Turn with me very quickly to Philippians chapter 2. Please. Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to look at verses 12 and 13. Very, very briefly. But the Apostle Paul explains this a little bit further. He's carrying this idea out, but he's giving us a little bit more explanation on this. And here's what the Apostle Paul says. Starting there in verse number 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, here's what he means by that, by the way. Whatever he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, what he's saying is what Jesus has already worked in you, the power that he's already worked in you to give you salvation, now you work it out. In other words, he's given you salvation. He's forgiven you of your sins. He's made you new. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. He has raised you to life. He has made you a new being. Now, what he has worked in, you work out by living a sanctified, godly life, a life that looks like the life of Jesus. But now, get this. Go to verse number 13. He says, but wait, you can't forget about one thing. As you do this, as you live a life that looks like the life of Jesus, as you do what he wants you to do, live a life that he is pleased with, live a life of forgiveness toward other people, live a life of kindness, a life of loving God and loving others, a life of graciousness, long-suffering, patience, all of these things, and the list goes on and on of how Jesus wants us to be. He says, as you do all of this, remember one thing. Go to verse 13. For it is God who works in you. And that word works is the word that we get, the Greek word there is the In other words, it is God who empowers you, who gives you the energy or the power, both to will, which means to desire, both to desire and to work or to do things for his good pleasure. Now look at what he just said right there. That apart from the power of God working in my life, here's what I get. I don't even have the ability to desire to live a life that God is pleased with. Without his power enabling me and giving me the ability to live a sanctified life, a life that he's pleased with, I don't even have the, I don't have the capacity to even desire to do that. Let alone actually do it. Actually live a life that he's pleased with. What a humbling thing to do. And I'll tell you what, way more times than I care to even admit, this is not my act. I don't think this way. I like to have more of that Barney Fife kind of an attitude. Yes, I do like Andy Griffith Show. We have a little truth in church, by the way. Any of the fans of the Andy Griffith Show? Oh, my people. I like that. Alright, those of you that don't watch the show, this illustration won't mean much to you, but just hang with me, don't fall asleep. Those of you that watch the show know what I'm about to do, okay? Barney Fife, whenever he gets complimented by something good the attitude that the Apostle Peter is going after here. God is huge, and He works for us. He works in and through us, and thank Him that He does. But now, Peter's not done. He's going to go on here and say a couple more big things about our God. So hang with me. Next thing he's going to say about God. In verse number 3, look down to verse number 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and God. I have no excuse to not get saved. He has granted me everything that I need to be saved. I have no excuse to sin, really. He has granted me everything that I need to live a godly life, a life that looks like the life of Jesus. Through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. Now, I love this. I love this. God, by His own glory and excellence, called us to His own glory and excellence. The word calling here means calling to salvation. That's the calling we're talking about. God calls us. And we already talked a little bit about that, how God draws us in by His own power. He calls us. And here he explains how God does that a little bit. God does that simply by revealing to you and to me who He is. He lets us see Him. I'm going to take a wild guess and say probably not fully. But He allows us to see enough of Him to realize who we're dealing with, to realize who is calling us. And we're very attracted to Him. We're very attracted to Him. That's why that's how He draws us in. He calls us by His own glory. And by the way, the glory right there is, the idea there is seeing Him as He is. Seeing Him as His true self. Seeing Him that, like, acknowledging, realizing, the knowledge comes to you that He is the creator of all things. This is the big God that I'm dealing with. I start to understand this right before I get saved. I understand who He is. He's the creator of all things. He is the all-powerful one. He's the all-knowing one. I know there's big words for this stuff, but I'm not smart enough to remember, so I'm just drawing it out for you here, okay? He is the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning of the end. He's everywhere at once. I'm not sure what the word for that is. But we know that that's true. There is nowhere we can be that God is not. He's the all-powerful one. He tells everybody where to go and what to do. And nobody tells Him what to do. Nobody can. He's the all-powerful one. He's the creator. He spoke everything into existence, you and me included. Well, I guess He took dust and made us. Sorry. But He's the creator of all things. That's who we're dealing with. And we start to realize who He is as He draws us in and we're attracted. And then the word here for excellence, another way to say that is moral excellence. In other words, He's perfect in every way. He allows you to see that. He's without sin. He is humble. He is forgiving. He is loving. He is long-suffering. He is patient. He is kind. He is gentle. He is faithful. All of these things, He reveals them to you today. And He says, come. Come to me. You're lost in your sin. Come to me. I've given you everything you need. Come to me. And we do. Praise God for what He does for us, that we cannot be for ourselves. Let's move on. Point number 2. As we keep moving here, let's go into verse number 4. Point number 2, God is sufficient. God's power is sufficient. And lastly, we're going to see here that God's words are sufficient. As part of who He is, God's power is sufficient. God's words are sufficient. 2 Peter chapter 1, let's read verse 3 and then we'll go into verse 4. By His divine power has granted to us all by the way, the Greek word here for precious is the word timios, and it simply means unequal value. Like, the value of these promises is beyond calculation. They're such important promises. They're such wonderful promises to you and to me that He gives to us when we get saved. And I have a bunch of them written down. And I don't know if I have them all. But let me ask you, what are some promises that God gives us at salvation? Because we've gotten saved, what are some promises that He gives us? Shout them out. What are they? What are some? Yeah, you might get some that I don't have. Never leave us or forsake us. He'll build us a house. I've gone and prepared a place for you. Heaven. What a hope. What a promise. And by the way, these promises, it says, are based on His glory and excellence. Means they're based on who He is. So you can take them to the bank. They are going to come true. What are some of the promises that He's given to you? What's that? He will supply all of them. Eternal security. No one will fuck you out of my hand. Once you're mine, you're mine. I've saved you, and I will not unsave you. Forgiveness of sins. Eternal life, I heard that. Eternal rewards. Resurrection. If we die before He comes back. One day be totally free from sin. Redeemed. Born again. These are some of the amazing, precious promises that He gives to those who come to Him for salvation. Continue with me in verse number 4. He says, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. Now, let's talk about this divine nature for a moment. Basically, He's saying, here's why I promise you these things. Here's why I promise you eternal life. Here's why I promise you a house. Here's why I promise you heaven. Here's why I promise you forgiveness of sins. This is why I promise you what I promise you. This is why I'm going to give you what I'm going to give you. Because through these promises, you may become partakers of the divine nature. Now, there is a lot of writing about this phrase, divine nature. And I have poured over this. And let me tell you, as I have studied this, what I believe the idea here that Peter has. I believe he has the same idea that the Apostle Paul had. And I'm going to read you a couple of verses. Listen to me. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 5 through 7, he says, the Apostle Paul says this, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Basically, here it is. I promised all of these things to you because when you came to me and I forgave you of your sins, I actually, here's what I literally did for you, God says. I literally adopted you into my family as a son or daughter and made you my very own. I promise these things to my heirs. I promise eternal life. I promise heaven. I promise forgiveness. I promise all of these things to no one else. Except the ones who have entered into my family by adoption and become my through salvation. This is it. He's amazing. Did what we could not do. He's huge, He's big. And we're going to end right here at the end of verse 4. Read verse 4 with me. We're going to go to the end. By which He has granted to us His precious and very great could not save myself from the devastating effects of sin. I was dead in my trespasses and sins, remember? But he has raised me to life through the salvation that he offers me by his power. He has saved me by his power, gave me forgiveness of sins, and has now saved me from the devastating effects that sin would have had on me and on you. This is the big God that we have. After we see all this, after we see everything that God has done, the power of God, the insignificance of myself, I'll tell you what, the only thing I have left to do is look up and say, God, I realize I've had nothing to do with any of this. You've done it all because you are. This is the great, big, powerful, amazing God. And as my brother said in soccer camp, awesome. That we serve, who has saved us. I'll ask the music medalists to come. And if you would bow your head. Just going to have an invitation. And just give anyone a chance to respond if they feel the need. Wow. God has truly accomplished so much for you and for me. He has saved us by his power. Allow us to live a godly life by his power. Given us so much by his power. Promised us so much by his power. Let me ask you this. Do you know this God? We're amongst the church family where people love one another. And let me ask you this. Have you ever come to know personally this God who is powerful and has done everything to make a way for you to receive salvation? Is he drawing you this morning? If he's drawing you this morning, will you please not say no? Will you say yes to God? Say yes to this God who loved you and gave himself for you so that you might have life. I'm not going to draw this out, but I'm just going to ask, if he is drawing you, and you know that you need to be saved, I'm just going to ask, will you come? Is he calling you? Will you please come? Will you please come right now?
Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity we have to be reminded of your great and awesome power and your love toward us. And Lord, that you called us to be your children and made us divine heirs. And thank you for that power. Thank you for that, those promises of your word. Lord, I pray that would sink in, that we would love you more and serve you more as we just get a fresh glimpse. Be reminded of that. And God, again, if there is any that maybe have never trusted Christ, that have never had their sins forgiven, God, I pray that today would be that day that you'd move on their hearts. As we now prepare to partake together as a church family in communion, remembering what it took so that we might be forgiven, God, I pray as a church it would stir our hearts, again, that we would glorify you, again, that we would praise you and thank you for your goodness. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.